JT, live in Vegas.
Vegas on to the Western Conference Finals.
In order to advance deep into the playoffs in the NHL, you have to be playing your absolute best hockey in the playoffs and be healthy. And that's what's going on with the Vegas Golden Knights.
He scored! Off of his legs! Carlson, shorthanded!
They're facing a team that's going to come up here that they should be able to beat, even without home ice.
Shot! Score!
What an honor it is to host this show on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights as they're rolling in the playoffs.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick. Oh,
great to be back, JT, with you. Brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT's Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar, the Stratosphere. And with all of these viewing parties, just think about PT's. They were here first. They were behind this hockey team. They're ready to host you throughout the valley as we get ready for more home games during the Western Conference Finals. Thrilled to be back. A quick trip to Maui. I'm back here. They keep bumping me off the air for hockey games. I want to be on the radio. You can catch the national show all the time every night. But if they bump me off at this time for a hockey game in Winnipeg or a 5 o'clock start on Friday, I'm still on the radio, even though you hear the Golden Knights. Hey, I would rather hear a hockey game than me. Isn't that the good rule going forward, Bobby? Can we get those T-shirts printed up? I would rather listen to a hockey game in the playoffs than JT, and I'm all for that. Keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights as they have evened the series against Winnipeg and now have secured back home ice advantage moving forward at T-Mobile in the Western Conference Finals. Going back months ago in this time slot, I said this is bonus hockey. It's bonus hockey. We're talking about possibly playing hockey into the month of June. June, not February. June, and it's starting to develop that way. We'll get into the game last night and what happened, and we'll preview the game going forward. Only on a couple of days this week because of hockey. Jump on the phones and give me some hockey fans. I think we're the show that encourages that in regards to interactive radio, 876-1340. What is your key to game three at T-Mobile? What has to happen to keep home ice advantage? What is the difference in your mind against a really good Winnipeg team the rest of the series? 876-1340 is the number. Start dialing. Let's get a couple of hockey fans on the radio and get into this. We're going to go in a bunch of different directions today. We always lead with hockey if this team is still alive. We'll get into the national news yesterday of the Supreme Court striking down the federal sports betting ban. We have a guest coming up, Brett Smiley, in about 10 minutes on the effect it'll have on Vegas. I'd also like to take your calls on that. If you're a sports gambler, which I'm not, but I put sports handicappers on the radio, will this encourage you to bet more, bet less? You think you'll bet when you're on the road on a business trip? You think when you go on vacation eventually, a couple of years from now in New York, Florida? If you're in Chicago for a game, will you place legal sports bets? Because it's not just in Vegas anymore. I'd love your opinion on that. Albert Hall, one of the two founders of the NBA Summer League, great friend of mine. This is a guy who helped build the NBA Summer League to now being a monster. Albert Hall will join us at 4:25. And then a little bit later into the show, we have a hockey guest that we're working on previewing Game 3. We'll tell you all about that. Let's lead with the Vegas Golden Knights. Last night was a must-win game. I don't think they can win the series without a split because I think Winnipeg is good enough to get a game at T-Mobile. I really do. I think they're good enough to get either Game 3 or 4 or Game 6 at T-Mobile. So last night became, in my mind, a must-win coming off a poor performance in Game 1 where Fleury let 3 goals in early. Vegas needed to get off to a quick start in a hostile environment, and they did.
V down low, off the side of the net from Tatar. Rebound, score! It's Tatar. He couldn't get it through on the first look. He put it off the side of the net, but he managed to get the rebound through under a fallen Hellebuck, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead.
That's Dan Duva on all the calls. That was big for two reasons. He missed a shot that he should have scored on, got his rebound and put it in, and it got him going. Tatar needs to get going because of his speed, his ability to score, and that kind of wakes him up a bit the rest of the series, which I think
is really important. Marchessault is turning into one of the best players in all of hockey in the postseason, period. He's top two or three any way you look at it, and he had an explosive game.
Protects it along, but it's stolen. Marchessault's got a great look all by himself. He shoots. He scores. Marchessault slams it home on the backhand. The jaunty Jonathan Marchessault makes it 2-0 Knights.
That turned out to be the game-winning goal, and Marchessault is playing at the highest level you can play at in the Western Conference Finals. Another guy that Vegas needs to remain hot. He's a hot goal scorer. You got to ride a guy like that and his stick the rest of the way, playing at a real high level. You knew Winnipeg wasn't going to get shut out in this game. There was going to be an opportunity for them to come up and score a goal and get back into it.
Tyler Meyer speeds through center, drops it off at the right point. Left circle, Kyle Connor shooting, no, it's through! It got through Fleury's legs and got into the net. And it's a one-goal game with 12:43 to go in the third.
Yeah, really surprised Fleury let up that goal. And that was a concerning goal at that point in the game because it was a weak goal that he gave up. He's given up multiple weak goals in the Western Conference Finals, and we're only two games in. So I was a little bit concerned with that, but Vegas bounced back once again.
Carlson. A return to Smith, left circle, centers Marchessault, he scores! On the backhand, 3-1 Vegas. Marchessault's second goal of the game.
He's so good, and he's in such a rhythm right now, it is just fun to watch. So you got a hot guy who is scoring goals, he's playing at an electric level, and a goaltender in Fleury, who's easily the best goalie left in the postseason. I'll take that. Any day, you give me a hot goal scorer, Ovechkin could be one of them with Washington coming up, and you give me the best goaltender left, that is a great formula for the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward in a game that they had to have a bounce back win. They get it.
William Karlsson wins the draw, puck to the corner with 4 seconds to go. Right wing controlled by the Jets, but they've run out of time. Centering feed at the horn. This one is over. The Knights take game 2, 3-1. And this series tied up 1-1.
Great call by Dan Duva on the game. That's right here in this building, the Vegas Golden Knights. Flagship run by my producer, Bobby Machado, on the board and running that entire broadcast. Bobby's loving it. We're loving it. Everybody's excited about what we have in store on Wednesday and Friday. For Gerard Gallant after the game, he knows he's got a really hot line that's got to remain hot.
No, Marcy was real good tonight. He scored 2 big goals, but I thought all their team did their jobs tonight. Everybody played their role tonight. They did an excellent job what they done, and obviously that top line, when they get going and they make some plays and they got some time and space like they did, they scored a couple beautiful goals. So they were really good, and they were good, strong, and strong defensively also. So great game by that line.
You know, it wasn't a knock on Vegas all year long, but everybody said how Vegas, they had an equal amount of great lines. They had 4 lines. One wasn't better than the other. No, now they have a great lead line that can dominate games. And for Gallant, as long as he's got Fleury and goal, they got a chance.
And I think the key tonight was, again, they came out pretty hard, and Fleury had to make 3 or 4 real good saves the first 7 or 8 minutes again. You know, he made some solid saves. And we rebounded after that, and we got that 2-0 lead, and it was a different game for us. I mean, when teams are chasing the lead, it's tough for teams to battle back. I mean, it's happened a few times in the playoffs, but when you get a 2-0 lead, it's tough on the other team, and I thought we did a good job.
So that's how we open up the show. You got an opinion on what has to happen on Wednesday? Get on in here at 876-1340. I am more than rested and ready to go. Paul, you're on the flagship of the Golden Knights. What do you got?
JT, thank you. Love the show. Love the conversation.
Thank you.
So I was super excited with the win because, one, like you said, it gives us that momentum and gives us that home ice as we bring it back home. And the way they played was superb. They need to come out with that energy and that aggression because Winnipeg is fast, they are large, and they will take advantage of every opportunity. So it's up to us to make sure that we don't give them many opportunities. And for those shots they do get, we got the best guy in net.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. It's all about Winnipeg. All of these matchups have been pretty unique, haven't they? L.A., really good team. To sweep them 4-0 with their strength and their size was special because all those games were one-goal games and really tight. I thought Vegas did everything right to get that done in a sweep. San Jose, that was another tough matchup, and that was a brutally physical series, and Vegas was the better team, and they won. A lot of people were questioning who was the better team here, and we're still questioning that. Because Winnipeg is really good, and you got to take advantage of every break going forward. Dave, you're up next on the Vegas Golden Knights flagship. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? What a game, huh? I'd just like to point out, you know, I think when we play our game, which is moving our feet, playing our tempo and not their tempo, I'm not sure what team was the first 10 minutes of game one, but when we play our game, I'm not sure there's any team that can beat us, you know, in a series of seven, and we just have to stay that way. I'd also like to point out, Nate Schmidt, to me last night, looked like a hybrid between Larry Robinson and Paul Coffey. He was everywhere. He did everything. And, you know, he was just so loose. And, you know, I just think, you know, resonates from Gallant all the way down. And they just got to play their game tomorrow. And like you said, look for a split.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Now, I wouldn't look for a split at home. I'd look to win these next two games. You got to jump on them in game three at T-Mobile. Winnipeg has not experienced that type of road atmosphere, period, in the postseason. If you would ask me a week ago when the Final Four was set, who was the best team? Clearly Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the best team in hockey. And then you go down the list and you can put Vegas, wherever you want. Now Tampa Bay's down 0-2 going on the road. If we can get Tampa Bay out of here, the matchup could be good, but I'm not ready to talk about the elimination of the Winnipeg Jets just yet. They have a lot left in the tank. Pleasure to be joined by Brett Smiley, who does a great job, a unique column that I'll retweet at sportshandle.com on the Supreme Court striking down the federal sports betting ban. He joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Brett, you know, on a national level, I want to get into the effects that this has around the country, but we're in Vegas today. What effect do you think this will have on the Vegas sports books going forward?
Good to be with you. And, you know, that's a question I wanted to ask you, but I'll take my stab as a gentleman sitting in New Jersey right now. I read a column earlier today that quotes Jay Cornegay at Westgate pretty extensively, and I think he captures the general sentiment that Nevada isn't terribly worried. You know, all this illegal sports betting that's been happening outside the state right now has not been benefiting the state at all. I think you're going to see more people that previously haven't been betting on sports are going to become interested, going to want to take a trip out there for the experience, the lights, some of the real large sports books. I don't think some of the ones that are going to be cropping up are going to be quite as nice. And you have all the MGMs and the Caesars there that have properties across the country, and you know they're going to be consulting them. They're going to be benefiting from those properties growing. There'll be consulting opportunities for some of the directors around the state because that type of experience just doesn't exist right now elsewhere. So I think they're fine with it. I think the people in this industry there have been expecting this for a long time and aren't caught off guard by any means.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think more people will continue to come out with 43 million tourists coming into Vegas and visitors. That number will increase going forward. And I think it will give sports fans the appetite around the country to legally gain more and bet on sports experiences, and that'll just help the fans that come out here to Vegas. I think New Jersey deserves, if not all the credit, most of the credit. They had the infrastructure in place. Governor Chris Christie, who gets a lot of heat for a lot of different reasons, was at the forefront of this. Talk about New Jersey, Atlantic City, and the role they play going forward.
Credit to Christie, whose name unfortunately doesn't appear on the legal docket anymore. That goes to Phil Murphy, the new governor. But yeah, he was instrumental. He didn't have to sign some of the laws to put this court battle into motion. New Jersey, people are psyched here. Monmouth Race Park is, they're going to be operated by William Hill. They want to take their first wager in 2 weeks. I think Atlantic City, they're going to quickly whip together a bill that's already been in the works and set up their legal framework in Jersey. So probably Atlantic City will be good to go by the end of, let's say 60 days. The racetracks are going to get licensed. You know, all racetracks around the country could use a little bit of a jolt like that. And it's been almost a decade-long quest. New Jersey had lost at literally every single step of the way in district court and the Third Circuit Court twice. And it was a bit of a Hail Mary going to the Supreme Court, but they did it, and they won. So kudos to Christie, to taxpayers that footed about a $9 million legal bill over the course of this, and their attorney, Ted Olson.
Brett Smiley is our guest, sportshandle.com. He's got a couple of recent columns you have to check out. Fantastic. A lot of details on what happened here over the last 48 hours. Let's move to the other states that are close and want to get up to speed quickly. If New Jersey's ready to go, give me a couple of other states that are right behind them.
Sure. We'll do it quick. West Virginia and Pennsylvania, they already legalized contingent upon the outcome of this case. So they are. It's going to be legal now there, too, probably on a similar timeline, I would think 60 to 90 days before NFL season. They'll be ready to go. New York does not want to be, does not want to fall behind. They get a session closing at the end of June, so they're probably going to get on board. A number of states, they fell a bit short, but I would expect them early in 2019. Mississippi, they changed their regulations last year, so they're going to be good to go. And I think we're also going to see Michigan pass something prior to the end of their session, possibly before NFL season as well. So I think six, seven new states by the end of this year and probably by the end of next year, maybe 10, 12 more states. So we could be up to about 18, 20 states, including Nevada, by the end of next year.
Brett Smiley is our guest, sportshandle.com. I'm interested in this from a league-wide perspective. The NFL, with their expansion into London, into Mexico City, the NFL and Roger Goodell understanding that there is global gaming money coming into his sports, legally and especially illegally, so they were going to get around to it. But I sense, and you would know better than me, Brett, that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, seems to be at the forefront of wanting an integrity fee, wanting a piece of this action. What league of the four major sports leagues do you think is going to step forward first and have a great plan in place?
Well, you're right. NBA has definitely been at the forefront of this. It wasn't long after Silver took over for David Stern that he penned a column in the Times basically saying that sports betting is already happening. Let's legalize it and regulate it, and that would be beneficial to our games. So it was a bit of a surprise that they pivoted and said, yeah, well, legalization and regulation would be good, but we want to cut of the action. And for any of your listeners that may not be aware, they're lobbying all over the country for 1% off all wagers. We know it's a thin margin sports betting, so that's in effect about 20-25% of a typical hold. They haven't gotten very much traction with this argument. They're calling it a, quote, integrity fee. They're calling it an intellectual property fee, a royalty. And a lot of lawmakers around the country are asking, well, Nevada doesn't pay a dime. Besides the excise tax, what are we going to do this for? And they really don't have a great argument. It's more or less a request. But MLB has been in lockstep with them at a lot of different hearings. NFL just yesterday just put out a statement that said, we're going to go ahead to Congress now. We respect the decision. We want a legal federal framework. So that's about where it's at. Oh, and the PGA Tour has joined them. So they're all pretty much on board now in the wake of the decision.
Brett Smiley's our guest, sportshandle.com, as we wrap it up. That's really important to me because when I look at this, the only problem that I see here is that most people lose when they bet. I live in Las Vegas, and I try to interview only the best of the best handicappers because I know a lot of handicappers that have businesses and lose money for their clients. So the more and more people who bet on sports, the more and more people are going to lose. I think most people would agree with that. So if you have such a thin margin for victory, for making money, and then you add in an integrity fee, the VIG, the price of being in a casino, legally to bet all this, I don't see a lot of winners going forward other than the best of the best. And that's why I think Congress is going to get involved at some point, because they're going to look at this as a vice, and they're going to say that a lot of bad's going to come out of this, gambling addictions, some of the issues along the way, more losers than winners. How quickly until the federal government gets involved instead of saying that the states can handle all this on their own?
Well, it took Orrin Hatch, Senator of Utah, about 3.5 hours to put out a statement saying that he intended to propose some sort of legislation on this front. And interestingly, he was one of the co-authors along with former Princeton Tiger and New York Knicks Bill Bradley, who wrote the bill, and this is passed by the one that just got ruled unconstitutional. I wouldn't bet on Congress accomplishing anything on this front in a midterm year.
Sure.
It's interesting because this is in the context of a states' rights case. That's what it turned down, the 10th Amendment. Congress went about it all wrong in the first place trying to regulate the states, so for them to take another crack at it is just kind of a humorous element. And by the end of this year, you're going to have 6-7 states that have something in place. They certainly have the right to take another run at it. They're going to have the NFL wanting them to do it and all the other leagues, so they certainly have some lobbying might. But I don't know. I asked somebody to set a line for whether Congress gets involved by the end of 2019, and they gave me 20-1. So
okay.
I'll take that. I think there's a chance, but they may just let the states continue to operate as they see fit.
And finally, when I look at this, where does the money go to when this money is taxed? You're sitting in New Jersey. They've been waiting on this for so long. And you have racetracks, and there are casinos there with slots. Now the influx of this legal sports gaming is going to come into play. What is everybody on the ground who doesn't gamble in the state of New Jersey who's on board with this? Where do they think the money's going?
Well, I don't know where they think the money's going, but it's going to go to a variety of places in different states based on the needs of those states. I know West Virginia has earmarked this fund for teachers' pension to make sure that keeps going. Other states towards education. New Jersey, I think, some sort of general fund. Hopefully they'll work on these roads here because they're a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Senior citizens, healthcare, education, hopefully those places and not into anybody's pockets.
Yeah, I just wrote that down for my next show coming up, the needs of those states. That's very vague but very accurate from you. The states will have the governing power to put those funds where they deem best and most responsible, and that'll have to do with the politics of those in power.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why this is a big win for states' rights. This is why the court took the case. They don't care about my ability in New Jersey to bet on the Giants. It was really Justice Alito wrote, "I can't think of any bigger affront to states' rights," and that's how he sounded in the court. And that's why a lot of folks, myself included, thought it was going to go this way.
Thank you, Brett. Great work. Appreciate it. I'll tweet out this column. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. My pleasure. Have a good rest of the day.
You do too. Brett Smiley from sportshandle.com. Look, I'm a pessimist with a lot of things when it comes to sports. I know a lot of people in the handicapping industry. Some of them are my best friends here in Vegas. Not many of them make money. I repeat, not many people that are giving out gambling advice consistently make money year over year. And they're the best of the best. So if you got a whole bunch of Tommies and Vinnies and Joeys in New Jersey and Louisiana thinking they're going to make money all of a sudden because of legalized sports gaming, you're out of your mind. It's going to be more and more people losing but thinking it's okay because they're doing it legally. And it is better because they're doing it legally. They're not having some bent nose chasing them down outside of Philadelphia delicatessen because they haven't been able to pay everybody back. What I love about this is you can only bet what's in your account, unlike illegal sports betting, which is just the opposite. But let's see. Raise your hand and beep your horn if you know a lot of people in town winning money consistently gambling on sports. And if you do, send them our way, and I'll interview them once a week. 876-1340 is the number. When we come back, the founder and the head of the NBA Summer League, Albert Hall, my good buddy. Please stick around and listen to this. This is one of the fastest-growing events in the country, let alone Vegas. If you haven't done the deep dive, if you haven't gone to NBA Summer League and you want to know all about it, Albert will tell you next, especially for the families, the kids in town, it's a home run.
Curry fades to left corner, Durant with a dribble. Crossover, top of the key, crossover again. Takes a jumper off the dribble. It's good over Capella, and KD's got it going. He's got 26.
How about that game for Durant last night? Houston has a huge problem. If they don't win game two, they're going to get annihilated in this series. JT the Brick Show back with you. The NBA Summer League is one of my favorite events in Vegas, period. It's family friendly. It gets bigger every year. Every time I go there, the service at both arenas, 5-star. I always have a good time, and a lot of it is because of this next gentleman, the president of Hall Pass Media, co-founder of NBA Summer League. My friend Albert Hall joins us on Fox Sports Radio. It's that time of year again, Albert. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, JT. Great to hear your voice. Checks in the mail, buddy. Appreciate the support.
First off, it gets better and better. We talk about that every year. And you guys have set a high bar over the years. Now fans come in and expect the biggest young stars in the game, a really organized event that starts on time where there's going to be entertainment later on in the night around the strip. Talk about the growth over the last couple of years and what you have in store for us this year.
Yeah, JT, I mean, our key every year is to bring energy to the building. You know, this is the first foray into the NBA for a lot of these young guys. It's a great opportunity for fans to feel like they're really an insider. Last year was one of those years where we caught lightning in a bottle with the Lakers catching fire and playing on in and winning the championship. and some great young talent in last year's draft, and this year's draft may be as good, if not better, when it's all said and done. So it's really become that excellent opportunity for NBA fans, whether you're from Vegas, whether you're across the country, to come out. It's affordable. You know, $35 ticket for a GA ticket. You're going to see up to 10 games this year. Imagine that, 10 NBA games for $35. You know, 82 games across the board. And with all 30 teams, you know, you're not going to miss anybody. So the draft lottery coming up here in, what, an hour or so, and we're excited to see, you know, which teams are going to be featured on opening night, Friday, July 6th.
Albert Hall is our guest. You know, last year with Lonzo Ball and the phenomenon and the Lakers, and then you see other teams, you see a lot of international players come in, and I think it's great for the young fans, Albert, who want to watch a complete basketball game. They know that a few of these players, some of them will not make an NBA roster. They might have to go overseas. A star player, it might be the only chance they get to see that young star if they don't live in an NBA community. So I think the teamwork of watching these great young players play at a young age, plus the star power, is what really hooks most people.
No question. And you never know who's going to walk in each night, whether it's, you know, James Harden, LeBron last year sat courtside instead of being at the ESPY. So we're very fortunate about that. But, you know, everybody has a story each and every year, whether you're a player, a fan, whatever. In Summer League, it always seems to revert back to there. I go back to the Jeremy Lin story of the creation of Linsanity at Summer League. You know, whether it's Terry Rozier, who's playing right now, Donovan Mitchell, who just tore it up. You know, those guys take center stage each and every year. There's somebody who rises up and says, man, this guy's a lot better than we thought. And, you know, from a fan's perspective, you always want to be that fan that says, hey, I saw this guy before anyone else did. And the beauty is the Summer League provides you the access, whether it's sitting up close and personal. You know, like you said, there's a game going on in both gyms throughout the day. We have autograph signings each and every day. Everyone's very personable, you know, and it's a place for the NBA business. Everybody does business there. All the coaches are improving. They're getting better. We've got a host of events throughout the week. I know you've been come over to a couple of the events we've had in the years past. It's a great way to really build relationships. And our fans, if you're a fan and you look at somebody like Philly or Golden State, you know, the culture change really starts at Summer League, and I have a hunch that Phoenix is going to be that team this year. Just with all their young talent, looks like they're going to have a top pick, and really, I know Igor is a great young coach. I mean, I think they may be that one team to watch out for.
Wrapping it up with Albert Hall, the president of Hall Pass Media and the co-founder of NBA Summer League. The NBA is your partner, obviously. I have a problem with teams that are tanking. Mark Cuban was fined $600,000 because of what he said on Dr. J's podcast, and there are a lot of teams. I'm a Knicks fan. Once Porzingis went down, the effort in winning wasn't there. This has become a big problem on sports talk radio, Albert, over the last couple of years, of teams positioning themselves not only for ping pong balls, but for some of the better players who are going to show up in the NBA Summer League. How important of a topic is this for the NBA before you get these players in your Summer League?
I think it's an important topic. You've seen Adam Silver get out in front of this topic, just like every other one that he's done, you know, whether it be the gaming situation yesterday but he's always on the forefront, really trying to rectify any situation that's going south. And I think this one, you know, whether it's proven or not, I think teams realize, hey, there are good players at the top of the draft, but if we do our homework, we build from within. You know, you look at Utah, I go back to them again. I mean, you can build in the draft with players in the mid to late first round, develop your guys, find a free agent. And, you know, you're right back in the mix with a couple lucky breaks. Now, Philadelphia, hey, they had, you know, a number of picks, and they parlayed those into some very good players. But I don't think the league, anybody wants to see anyone tank. The 82-game schedule, is it too long? I don't know. But at the same time, you go out night in and night out, you want to see a good quality product. And I think the NBA is always ahead of any problems that may arise. The beauty of Summer League, going back to that, is you know guys are playing. They're playing for food. They're playing for an opportunity on a roster, as you said, whether it's a rookie, a second-year guy, a journeyman coming back to really make a name for himself, like a Kent Bazemore or a Jonathan Simmons. You know, those guys are coming, and they're playing hard. They bring it every night. And since we instilled that championship in the Summer League, you know, every team comes out there, and once they get past Tuesday, Wednesday of the playoffs, they're like, let's win this thing. So everybody's playing hard and competing at full strength.
Well, you know, I live in Vegas. I love this locally. But for the national audience that wants to build a vacation around this, tell us how we get tickets, best way to go after hotel rooms, and make this a trip that families around the country should get out to. I think the value is incredible. And for my sons, and you met my sons when they were 10 and 8, now they're 16 and 14, I drop them off in front of the Thomas and Mack, and I say, I will pick you up 10 hours from now. Here's a little bit of money for food. Go hang out with your buddies. And they come home every night with a smile on their face. What's the best way to go about getting tickets?
I love hearing those stories because it's true. It's authentic. And we did the same thing when we were kids, JT. So it's nice to see that that still is true and resonates. Tickets, you can go to UNLV Tickets or NBATickets.com. Locally, 702-739-FANS. As I say, they're on sale now. We went on sale yesterday. There's general admission, $35 for adults, $25 for kids and seniors. We do have some reserved seats and some courtside seats available, very limited. So if you're interested in that, take a look at NBATickets.com. And from hotels, you know, we just ask, hey, Vegas has a ton of great options. We're fortunate enough to have MGM Resorts as our title sponsor. And I know they have a number of packages out there, whether it be at MGM or Park or Vidara, a number of the hotel properties. But by all means, we'd love to have you July 6th through the 17th out in Vegas. It's affordable. It's a fan and family-friendly environment. But come on out and enjoy some hoops.
You're the best. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the support, as always.
You got it. Albert Hall, the co-founder of NBA Summer League. It is a slam dunk. It is a tremendous event because, again, around the country, people should be coming out here for NBA Summer League instead of going to one NBA game. So instead of going to a Clipper game, and that's your only game of the year you go to, why wouldn't you want to come out to Summer League and see 20, 30, 40 games and see the young stars? And then the kids are able to go down to the court or around the building and get autographs all day. Kids love autographs. And these players, they're told that they have to sign. They have to be there. They're mandatory signing days that they have to be there for all the fans there. I've never had a bad time. The NBA Summer League, remember those tickets at UNLV and NBATickets.com July 6th through the 17th. When we come back, courtesy of Golden Entertainment, we'll talk about the Vegas Golden Knights again and what they need to do to win both home games. Okay, this isn't a split opportunity here, everybody. You win two, you get a 3-1 lead, and the series is over. You get back-to-back games at T-Mobile. Win them both and put Winnipeg down. Get some rest for the Stanley Cup. Did you hear that? The Stanley Cup.
Stolen. Marchessault's got a great look all by himself. He shoots. He scores. Marchessault slams it home on the backhand. The jaunty Jonathan Marchessault makes it 2-0 Knights.
We are talking Vegas Golden Knights. Marchessault was unbelievable again in this game with 2 goals. JT, back with you, courtesy of Golden Entertainment. Watch these games at PT's, Sierra Gold, the SG Bar, Sean Patrick's, all the great venues right here in town, the great taverns and the services of PT's, and they are completely locked in for hockey in this great run to the Stanley Cup. Breaking news earlier today, all-star second baseman Robinson Cano of the Mariners suspended 80 games without pay by Major League Baseball after he tested positive for a banned substance. This is devastating news for not only the Mariners, but the legacy of Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano is one of the only players left who had an opportunity to put up numbers to get into the Hall of Fame. Of course, we have Albert Pujols is going in. Mike Trout will go in. But there are a lot of players that are going to be on the fence because they don't have the historic numbers that we've seen over the last 60 to 80 years. Cano left the Bronx, gave up a monument in the Yankees Monument Park, and an opportunity to play in multiple championships to go to Seattle for the money and $220 million. No problem with that. But his legacy was going to be not a winner in Seattle. He was never going to win in Seattle. No chance to win in Seattle, especially leaving the Yankees. The issue became he was going to be one of the highest priced players of all time. He's lost it all. He's lost a trip to Cooperstown, and now Robinson Cano will only be known as a money player. A really good money player, but a guy who knowingly took performance-enhancing drugs. I watched a couple of Major League Baseball insiders today on MLB Network that just laughed when he denied it and said he didn't knowingly do this. He took a banned substance to clear out his system. He didn't want to appeal it. He understood that the Major League Baseball executives and the individuals who test for this had him dead to rights. So that's it. He's finished. You get caught cheating in baseball with performance-enhancing drugs, you're done. You don't get a second chance. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens will not. Alex Rodriguez, he's doing great on TV, right? Great on TV. He's dating J-Lo. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars, never getting into Cooperstown. And Robinson Cano was going into Cooperstown as one of the best power-hitting second basemen of all time. Today, his legacy took the hit that he never wanted to see. What a shame. Hell of a ball player. And I'll never forget my dad, who's a Yankee fan, old school, who said, I can't believe he's leaving the Yankees for Seattle. I said, Dad, Yankees are giving him $180 million. He's getting $220 for Seattle. That's a big swing. A $40 million swing is worth leaving even the Yankees. But he blew it. And not saying he would have got caught cheating with the Yankees either, but he blew his legacy. What if a friend came to you and said, you've been working hard lately. Here's $50 to help make your life easier. That's what your friends at the Tackle app are offering you today. You can get your house clean, some handyman work done, some junk hauled away, get your yard work finished, your furniture rearranged. You can hang a TV, hundreds of other chores checked off your to-do list. Tackle connects you to background check providers who can show up ready to work in an hour or two. There are hundreds of pre-priced chores to choose from. Here's the best news. For a limited time, when you download the Tackle app for free, you'll get $50 off your first job. Ready for someone to help your life become a little bit easier? Don't miss out. If you need a small job done or a chore, download the free Tackle app now and get $50 off your first job. Let Tackle show you how great it feels to get it done. That's Tackle, T-A-K-L. Treat yourself to Tackle, T-A-K-L. Again, we're talking hockey games on Wednesday and Friday at T-Mobile. I'm pumped up all about that from the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Dr. Jay Calvert joins us on Fox Sports Radio. And Dr. Hockey, did you ever dream in your wildest dreams that we'd be talking about the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Conference Finals?
No chance. I cannot believe that they have done as well as they have. And it's just, it's beyond fun to watch.
Where do you stand with the critics who think they had a head start, they had a little bit easier with this expansion draft and the gifts that George McPhee was able to find?
Well, I think that there were rules that were imposed on how to make this team, and they just maxed it out. It wasn't that they had some magic formula. They had a great GM. They had great ownership. They have a great city. And the truth is that they picked very wisely, but in 100 years, I don't think anybody would have said that an expansion team formed that way would be competing for the Western Conference Finals.
Does most of the credit go to getting the goalie, a three-time Stanley Cup champ, and Marc-Andre Fleury?
I think that's a huge part of it. I think that, you know, that was a very smart move, but I think that there's a chemistry and a magic to this team that is beyond the data and the money ball sort of aspect of how this team was put together. It's incredible. It's so unique and so special. Just love it.
Dr. Jay Calvert is our guest, Dr. Hockey Podcast. And, Doctor, I'm interested in these lines that they have. The Marchessault line was unbelievable. You know, Wild Bill Carlson, you look at some of these guys, different players step up every night. But the consistency of line 1 through 4 and all the options that Gerard Gallant has to get a certain line going by just bringing in one new player who seems to fit in perfectly, no matter where that player's dropped in.
Well, that is the unique aspect of the expansion draft. Imagine taking the number 2 or the number 3 line of any NHL team that's just on fire and doing great, and then multiplying it by 4. That's basically the Vegas Golden Knights offense. And that's hard to compete against, because on any given night, any one of those lines is performing at the level of a first or second line. And by the way, there are two others that are doing the same thing. So from that aspect of being able to get that level of player, it is an advantage, but still, it's so unlikely that this would have happened.
Dr. Hockey joins us, Jay Calvert. And, Doctor, tell me what you think about Winnipeg now after they lost home ice advantage. We're here in Vegas. What do the Vegas fans have to worry about in Game 3 and 4?
Well, this is a very tough team. Winnipeg, to me, was... I saw them in November, and I said, this is a very interesting team to me. I think they have a shot at the Stanley Cup. They're huge. They have giant people on all over the place, defense, offense. It's just a big team, and they're fast, and they can make things happen very quickly, and they can turn the misfortune of a mistake into a game-changing moment for any team, as we saw with the Predators. Now, I think when they come to Las Vegas, they're going to be in for some Vegas home-style fan support for the Golden Knights. It's going to be just as bad as the whiteout. And I think that they're going to be a bit intimidated after losing that game at home.
Are you surprised that after Ovechkin was able to put Pittsburgh away, that this team got out to a 2-0 lead, Capitals over the Lightning on the road?
I am. I'm very surprised by that. But I know that Ovechkin, you know, my prediction was that Ovechkin and his team would not get it together to beat Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh was limping into those round of the playoffs, because they've just had such a mental block. But I saw Alex Ovechkin being smart, seeing the ice, dishing to his teammates for goals. And I said, you know what, I think Ovechkin's enlightened this year, and it's very possible that he's going to go right through the Lightning and head into the Stanley Cup. Whether or not they win the Cup there, that's going to be the next challenge, depending on who their opponent is. But the Washington Capitals are playing at the level that team has been capable of playing at for the last 8 years.
Dr. Jay Calvert's our guest, the Dr. Hockey Podcast. It's at Podcast One and on Apple Podcasts. And I'm really interested in your backstory as a doctor. Tell us how you got into this business, because I know with the podcast home that you're putting this out for, very impressive. You get a lot of downloads. How'd you get into this?
Well, I got into it because... About 3 years ago, I was having lunch with a friend of mine who now is one of the owners of the Vegas Golden Knights, Joe Maloof.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, you know, we sold the Sacramento Kings and we want to get into hockey. And I said, well, you know, Joe, like, that's what I do. I love hockey. Like, surgery is my job and my passion and my love. And I love fixing noses and doing facelifts and all the things that I do in plastic surgery. But my hobby and my passion is to follow the sport of hockey. And he and I talked all about it, and Gavin was in Pittsburgh at the time, like looking at the Console Energy Arena at the time. Now it's PPG. And I wound up really kind of honing with him their message to Bettman and you know, he and Foley and all them about what this was going to be to bring a team to Las Vegas. And it was really fun, and then they got the team, and then, you know, of course, I said, you know, well, here's a list of the players I'd pick, Joe, and, you know, I think about 80-90% of those players are on the team today, and it's just been a blast. And he said, you know a lot about hockey. You should do something with it. And I didn't know what to do, so I started a podcast with my friend Kevin Connolly, and it's been a blast, and people listen, and we have just a great time with it. And I'm not going to be a broadcaster other than doing this podcast unless something really changes. But I love talking about hockey. I'm a data man, and I follow the games. No, I'm just a huge fan and a huge analyst of these games.
Dr. Jay Calvert's our guest. That's a great connection for us. Joe Maloof used to listen to my radio show late at night in Sacramento and found me on the radio and brought me a lot of opportunities in Vegas with Gavin. So that's a great connection for us. And Kevin Connolly, the actor, is also a big Islanders fan, correct?
Huge Islanders fan. I mean, he just knows everything about every Islander team since he was probably 4 years old. He's amazing, and I knew he was a huge hockey fan, so I called him up to be the first guest, and he said, I don't want to be the guest, I want to co-host it with you. And he's been away, unfortunately, in Spain doing a bunch of TV, so my friend Dr. Jason Berkeley has he's really become part of the show. When Kevin comes back, he's got a seat there whenever he wants, and you know, we've kind of built this little crew of cronies for the Dr. Hockey team, and it's been just a blast.
Well, this is something I want you to personally, and we'll send you this interview because you could ship it over to Kevin in Spain, but I was born and raised a diehard Islander fan. When I was in high school, from my freshman to senior year, they won 4 cups in a row. So I lived about 20 minutes away from the Coliseum, and I just loved the team. My high school was so big that they would bring the cup to my high school to assembly after they won. So me and my buddies grew up playing roller hockey, loving hockey in the Islanders. Well, I said that if the Vegas Golden Knights started here, I would leave the Islanders because I live in Vegas and it's the one-time opportunity, expansion team inaugural season. So you let them know I left the Islanders. This is now my team, the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm never going to be able to go back.
Nope.
But Dr. Hockey, I made the right decision, right? I made the right decision here in Vegas.
You did. That team is amazing. And by the way, the town has received that team and embraced the team. And I think, you know, I don't think anybody in that city is anything but pleased as punch that they have that hockey team there. And I think all the players love it. It's been a great year, and it's been a blast. And I was at the first home game, you know, their third game, basically.
Sure.
And it was... You know, the tragedy just happened with the shootings, and they were playing the Coyotes, and it couldn't have been done better. The class and the just the way that everybody in that arena pulled together to have it be an amazing night to honor the people who, you know, lost their lives and the first responders, and I'm telling you, I think Vegas has, you know, knocked it out of the park for an inaugural season.
Doctor, thank you. I'll send everybody to the podcast. Really appreciate your time. Let's do this again when the Knights get to the next round, the Stanley Cup final, okay?
That sounds great. Thanks a lot, JT.
You got it. Dr. Hockey, Jay Calvert. What an interesting story. Go download his podcast on Apple Podcast or Podcast One. Everything's identical. When it comes to all the drink specials, the food specials, everything's ready for you at every PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar, because Golden Entertainment gets the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a great night, everybody. Go, Knights, go.